Listening to that, the NIO Minister, Mike Penning. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, where is Teresa Villiers? Is she here? Is she present? Is she doing anything?
She's in Northern Ireland with me, talking to many of the groups that Peter has just alluded to. And one of the reasons I hope that we've had a drop in the plague protest, well, sorry, the violence thing's still going away, I accept the street fight, is because people like myself and the Secretary of State have been in these communities, talking to the community leaders, saying if you want to lead in your communities, you've got to lead in helping stopping the violence. So all the things that Peter has just alluded to that should be happening, frankly, are happening. And what I find astonishing is that what he appears to be saying, this has got nothing to do with Northern Ireland, this is a mantra coming from the opposition saying your economic policies are not working nationally, so you should stop doing this because this is going to cause more problems in Northern Ireland. But Peter, as he said to you, was one of the great architects, and I praise him for this, of bringing devolution back to Northern Ireland and actually making sure the local politicians are responsible for what goes on. And then the next breath, he stands up in the House of Commons yesterday and says, that the Secretary of State should interfere with the day-to-day running of the country. And that's not possible if you want devolution to work.
But surely she should be plugged into Northern Ireland.
Well,
she should actually, really?
Well, tell me, the interesting thing is, Stephen, is that everything that Peter said there, I'm afraid he said from a point of ignorance.
How many times is she actually here?
We're both there.
Many days a week?
We try and make sure that the Secretary of State is there, or I am there throughout the week. So she's there 2 or 3 days every week, and so am I.
2 or 3 days. And on those 2 or 3 days a week, is she on the ground? What real impact has she had? What big statements has Teresa Villiers made in Northern Ireland in terms of impact, in terms of changing something?
Stephen, what you've seen is the flag protests taking place. And the flag protest now in a non-violent way, it's still illegal, but in a non-violent way. And that's partly because Teresa and myself have been out there in the community, in both sides of the divide, talking to just the sort of people that Peter was going to, and saying, but devolution is work. Now, I've met with the PUP, which is most of the community leaders are part of the PUP in East Belfast. I know so is she. So that's the sort of thing we're going to... I will not sit and talk with people who are engaged in violence. So I think you wouldn't expect me to do so on either side of the divide. But we are trying very, very hard. But I will come back to the point, as you said to Peter Hain, this actually is devolution. And if devolution is to work, you can't then come back to Westminster each time where things get difficult. So we need to work, as I said to you last time I was on your programme, I think we need to push and cajole and make the local politics work in Northern Ireland.
If there is a Northern Ireland office, Mike Penning, if there is a Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, then when something major is happening in Northern Ireland, some people might argue that you need to feel the presence of the Northern Ireland office, that you need to actually feel that you lot are on the ground, plugged into Northern Ireland. And, I have the benefit of working in Five Live 3 days a week. I do national stories. And I said at the beginning of the riots here, of the unrest here during the protests, I said, can you imagine a situation in which the police are being battered? Can you imagine a situation in which in a major city anywhere in England, people were not able to get to work and the Prime Minister wouldn't speak about it? This issue wasn't even raised in the House of Commons for weeks. You lot were non-present.
You and I had this conversation on your show. You and I were talking about this. And honestly, if you want me to take cameras down into East Belfast or into Londonderry when we go and visit down there, that wouldn't benefit anybody. So how do I prove that we're down there? Actually, what you can do is see, actually, and tweet to the community leaders down there, has the Secretary of State been and talked to your people? Has the Minister of State been in?
Do you honestly think people in Northern Ireland know who you are? Have you got a presence? Have you had impact on them?
Do you want Northern Ireland run by the Northern Ireland office, or do you want it to run by the devolved assembly? What do you want? The executive is in charge. My job is to be in the background, not in the forefront. My job is not to be the face of Northern Ireland. That is the elected people in Northern Ireland to do that. And that's what they need to do, Steve. And this sort of thing is not going to help that. This is actually going to actually give more, if you wish, ammunition, if we want a terrible word in Northern Ireland, or to those who want to break up the assembly, that want direct rule or don't want the peace process to work. And it's very, very dangerous for politicians that are not engaged in it anymore to come on your radio station and say, this should be happening, that should, but he has absolutely no idea what's happening. I actually met with Paul Murphy the other day and we discussed what we were doing, and he actually agreed with me what we were doing. But he didn't come on your radio station saying it because he wants the peace process to work. This was a party political thing that Peter's done on your station this morning, which is not going to help the people.
Peter Hill is essentially accusing the Northern Ireland office, Teresa Villiers in particular, of walking away, of constantly just doing things at arm's length, not being in the middle of it.
And it's complete rubbish. And he has no knowledge of that because he's not there. He's not there on the ground. I mean, I will be there all next week. The Secretary of State has been there this week. We will do everything we can. But the thing is, we have to push, Stephen. We've got to sit on your radio station later. Your listeners have got to push your politicians to move this peace process forward. It's not westwards. We're there to help. We will help. But actually, if the devolution is to work and the peace is to work, that's their job.
Well, how have you helped? What have you actually done? What has the Northern Ireland office, the Secretary of State, or indeed you, what have you brought to Northern Ireland?
What respect are you asking that, Steve?
Anything. In terms of the recent unrest, the recent trouble that we've had.
I'll just explain.
What have you brought? So you've talked to people. Anything else? Have you brought extra resources? Have you brought extra money?
I can get a word in each way. I mean, I know it's your show, but your people do want to listen to people actually coming onto your show. Well, I have tried, and we are trying continually, to give financial support. Everything we meet the PSNI, the security agencies are doing everything possible. That's why they picked up these terrible people in Londonderry the other night. That's the sort of support you're getting all the time. But it is, as I say, not my job to be the face on your radio station and on TV. That's the job of the local politicians, to drive the economy and to drive the peace process forward.
Now, how do you feel the local politicians have handled the situation?
Well, I've said to you before, they need to move forward and move better. And actually, if we want the peace process to work, they've got to respect each other a lot more. So there's a lot of talk of the talk, but action is what we actually need. And I'm very conscious that Peter coming on and saying, yes, we've got the marching season coming forward and the parade's coming forward, and saying this is a good opportunity for those that are disenchanted to cause problems. That's the most ridiculous thing to say. The last thing that Northern Ireland wants, and the economy in Northern Ireland wants, is actually to have problems on the TV screens all over again. And when I've called on all the people that are involved in this much to make sure they're as peaceful as possible, have respect for other people's views. That's the sort of jobs that goes on day in, day out, but not my face or the Secretary of State's face all across your TV and radio station.
When you say you expected the politicians here to do more, what do you mean?
The peace process is not a process which stops. It has to evolve. Devolution in Northern Ireland has to go forward. You have five parties within the peace process in government in Northern Ireland. They need to work much better together to make sure that the whole process goes forward. And what worries me is that the divide, and you've seen it, you know, whether it be the flag protests or all the problems that we've seen with the distant Republicans, is often being fueled by people feeling they're not engaged, that they're, you know, that they could actually demonstrate violently sometimes, and that will change the peace process in Northern Ireland. The last thing that the demonstrations are going to do, and violent demonstrations are going to do, or distant Republican terrorism is going to do, is actually help the peace process. So we need to work together. But what isn't helpful is a Westminster politician coming on and saying this should happen, that should happen in Northern Ireland, when frankly he hasn't been there for an awful long time.
What about a shared future strategy? You and your government colleagues have been calling for it. Where is it?
Well, it's there. Is it not there today in a shared future? Is it not there today when people are actually, you know, in a completely different economic and peaceful process in Northern Ireland that you grew up in and that I served in last
time? But, Mike, they can't agree on a CSA document.
Well, that is, you know, and I've met with the First and Deputy First Minister, I know the Secretary of State, and we every time we meet them, we say, we published a document, please publish a shared future document. That's for the pressure, and you made the, you know, everybody in Northern Ireland needs to put pressure on them to get that out.
But are you exerting any pressure?
Every time I meet them, and I was only meeting with them yesterday, and we were talking particularly about welfare issues yesterday, but I know it's one of the biggest things we talk. And actually, when the Prime Minister was over, when we announced the G8, which is a fantastic event coming to Northern Ireland, that you and I would never dreamt could have come to Northern Ireland in the past, actually, one of the first things he talked about is exactly that.
So what do you think's holding it up?
I think people need to compromise. People need to respect. I mean, and I know there's been a huge amount of compromise taking place on both sides. They're divided on them, but there needs to be more now so we can get that document out. So we can, you know, document doesn't mean anything, Stephen, as you know. Actually, what happens once the document is published and the actions that take place.
What did you make? What's your take on the First Minister, Peter Robinson, recently wondering whether the police have been acting in an even-handed way?
This was raised with me yesterday, actually, by one of the other DUP politicians in Westminster, and I've said, bring evidence to me. if there's any evidence that, you know, particularly on the historic inquiries, that it hasn't been even-handed. And I hear exactly what, you know, that Peter was talking about. Yes, I hear it. What I haven't actually seen is the evidence. I've asked for evidence from the police. What I've seen so far clearly indicates to me that it has been even-handed. But if Peter has any evidence to the contrary to that, then please show it to myself and the Secretary of State, and obviously we will take it up with Matt Baggett.
You know, again, if you make a comparison, can you imagine David Cameron, the Prime Minister, accusing the police of possibly not acting in an even-handed way? Can you imagine what would happen?
I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush on this, Stephen. I was really surprised. I think the job of a First Minister and anybody that leads a country is to be as supportive they possibly can on the police. The police are doing a fantastic job. No other police force in the United Kingdom does the sort of work that the police force...
And why were you surprised at what the First Minister said?
Well, because of exactly what you just said. You know, I haven't seen any evidence. So I would have thought if Peter wanted to make that sorts of comments, they would have brought evidence to us in that way. But it's for Peter and the Deputy First Minister, to drive this forward. But, you know, it's clearly not helpful if they feel that it's not even-handed, well, in which case, surely come forward the evidence to show that, and then we can work on that. But I can assure you, I've raised it with Matt Baggett myself, and it's not the case. And I've not seen any evidence of this. And I appreciate it is out there in the ether, but we need to address that.
So when you say it's not the case, so the First Minister's wrong?
Well, I'm saying if the First Minister, and I'll repeat myself, if the First Minister feels that there is evidence out there to show that, then he needs to bring it to myself and bring it to Matt Baggett. I mean, at the end of the day, Matt Baggett doesn't work for me. Matt Baggett works for Northern Ireland, and is responsible for the executive and to David Falk.
And do you think it was right or wrong for the First Minister to have spoken publicly about this?
If you're trying to bring me in to criticise him, I wouldn't have actually said it unless I had the evidence to do so. For that, Peter's going to have the ump on me over that, but I'm afraid that's the facts, I'm afraid.
Okay. Mike Penning, thank you very much indeed.